We are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is... Across the Mooniverse.
You know, every time I listen to our opening, I dance.
Nice.
I can't help it.
I move with it a little bit, if that counts. I don't dance, but I move with it.
Hey, hello, and welcome to Across the Mooniverse. I'm Maddie.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I'd like to wish everyone a very happy moon day.
Yeah, happy moon day, y'all. Here we are again with more Mooniverse talk, and Mike has quite the extensive pages of notes.
12 pages of notes.
I'm quite intimidated.
Yeah, I'm the overachiever. By the way, this is not the remark that I got in my grade school report cards. We're always, doesn't live up to its potential, doesn't not working to its potential. I feel like in this case, they would have said, This is definitely your potential right here.
Who knew? All you needed was magical girls.
Who knew? Thank you, by the way, for introducing me to the magical girls. I didn't know that I needed them in my life, but now that they're there, I feel more complete.
Everyone needs some magical girls in their life.
All right.
That's my opinion.
That having been said, we're on season 1, episode 16. Girl's dream, Usagi becomes a bride. And immediately after the intro is the little bumper that they put in that is kind of teases you on what the episode is going to be. It opens with Usagi going, unforgivable, unforgivable, unforgivable. And what's so unforgivable? Desecrating a lovely white wedding dress. The eternal dream of every young girl. So that sets us up for what we're about to see. And this brings me back to, now I know that I've asked you this question before, but
yes,
for as progressive as the show is in terms of being empowering girls, mm-hmm. we're definitely playing into stereotypes here. I don't think that every young girl is the eternal dream of every young girl. I'm sure there's plenty of young girls who are afraid of marriage. Their parents are in a terrible marriage. They may not, if anything, of marriage as a bad thing. You know,
this is true.
She needs to think before she speaks. You know,
it's true.
She's like a 14-year-old girl using the superlative.
I mean, you're not far off. I mean, also, you know, you also have to think that this was in the 90s, and that was kind of a narrative that was pushed hard then.
True.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So
after the bumper, we cut to the kids. The kids are all struggling to stay awake in home economics class.
Yes.
And Usagi has failed. She's asleep.
Oh, yeah.
She's got her head on her desk, and she's lying there dreaming. And she's like, sure, I'll have another pork bun.
Delicious.
Which made me want to ask you, in your trip to Japan, I know that you went to the cafe, the Final Fantasy cafe, right?
Yes, I did.
But did you eat a pork bun in homage to Sailor Moon?
I did not, actually. Not in Japan. I've had them... Elsewhere, I've had them from Japanese like restaurants and
with authentic like, Japanese cooks.
I mean, yes? Question mark. I've also gotten them frozen from the Asian market. You can get them frozen, and then you just pop them in you steam them.
So does it taste like pork?
Yeah. It depends on what you get, but the ones that I really like are the barbecue pork. So it's just like really like almost slow cooked barbecue pork inside this little dumpling.
I don't think any of the girls in my middle school were jonesing for pork. You know what I mean? Some of them had snacks and candy. I mean, Usagi is really into these pork buns, and so I want to know what's so magic. It's like. Remember the Lion, the Witch, and Wardrobe?
Yeah.
The one kid turns bad because the witch offers him Turkish delight.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what the heck Turkish delight was. And then when I ate it, I was so disappointed.
Well,
it's not delicious at all. It's like almond roca, kind of. It wasn't that great.
Pork buns are that great. I'll tell you that much. They're delicious. And I highly recommend them to anyone who wants to try.
Especially, I just think of when somebody is like okay, I think the way that she gets about pork buns, that's mm-hmm. how I get about pizza. So I guess it can be a savory thing. I was about to say that that people only get all worked up over sweet treats, but that's not true. Because I definitely love me some pizza.
Oh, I just like combined my love for, because I love barbecue. It's been instilled in me. I'm from Kansas. It's just, yeah, I'm a barbecue lady. And Joe, right. his family, whenever we go over to events and whatnot, they will have every other condiment but barbecue sauce. And it kills me because uh-huh. that's like my little treat. Like any kind of barbecue sauce. Well, good barbecue sauce. I won't say any kind of barbecue sauce because there's some shit barbecue sauce out there. But that's my like savory comfort food.
I just got them, by the way. Yeah, I'll back nice. You up on that. I tried a new brand. It had good advertising. It had a good label on it. I was like, and it was expensive, so I figured it would be good. And it yeah. made my chicken nuggets inedible.
That's,
all right,
that's,
we got a lot to cover. We can't
yeah, we do. Sorry. I just want barbecue now.
the home economics teacher is Mrs. Akiyama.
Yeah.
And they say that she used to be so passionate about sewing. What happened? And all of out of nowhere, Umino pops up. And he said, well, I can answer that.
He
busts out his little black book.
Yes,
the girls are like, why do you keep popping up out of nowhere and scaring
yes.
us?
Which is exactly my always pop out of weird places.
Creeper.
He is. He is.
And what does he write down in that little black book? Does he go around spying on all the teachers and writing down what he sees?
I mean,
how
kind
else
of.
Would he have this knowledge of... Yeah, he probably writes down his little spy notes about everything.
Oh,
so
yeah,
she tells us in a black book. Which, by
I
the
mean,
way, printed on the cover, it looks like it's the letter backwards RMC. What would that stand for? Is that just gibberish that they wrote in? Cause
you know,
those aren't
I don't
Japanese
know.
Characters.
Am I?
So it looks like a backwards RMC. Yeah, capital backwards, lowercase r, capital NC. I don't know why. I thought maybe you might have some insight on that.
I don't know, but I'll ask the intern
right.
to see if I can find it.
Check on that. I don't think it's wrong.
Look at the intern.
The backwards lowercase r.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is not the first time that we've seen Umino pop up with weird information about people. Because if you remember
right.
in the episode about working out, he has all of the deets on Haruna-sensei.
Right.
Sakurada.
So he
does
spy on the teacher. He's hot. Got it bad. He's hot for teacher.
He's just very much a snoop. He likes to know it all. He's a very brainy guy and just likes to know all the information.
But it's only the female teachers. Maybe it's just girls in general. Maybe he's girl crazy and he's an equal opportunity.
Mean,
he goes for the MILFs and he goes for girls his own age. Although you should know that Usagi's out of his league. He knows that, doesn't he?
Yes, it doesn't stop him from trying, though.
From trying, I know. Well, and especially if he gets the opportunity to smooch her, he thinks, you know, when she all of a sudden, he was pretty surprised when she asked him for a date in the last
That's
episode.
True. That's very true.
Well, she got hers. All right, so he consults his stalker diary, and he says, mm-hmm. I don't know the cause of Mrs. Akiyama's strange behavior. I believe it's connected to her engagement. And and so, I got here. How do you say her first name?
Higure.
Higure Akiyama, 34, is still unmarried. Her greatest desire is to wed her beloved in a beautiful ceremony while wearing a wedding dress that she sewed herself. How does he know this? He's got notes.
Because he's a creeper.
How does he know what her greatest desire is? What is super creeper?
Yeah. Yeah. And fun lore about Japanese culture. 25, if you're over 25, you are considered an old maid.
Oh. I knew 34 was significant. I mean, that was definitely going to be a significant fact. So then it cuts to, it's definitely a dark alley where we see the guy, he's on one knee, obviously proposing. But you know how I know it's a dark alley? Because it's dark, the background is dark. And then the only thing you can see is what's known in the lighting industry as a wall pack. And you only have wall packs in the backside of buildings. So they're behind a building or in an alley. Definitely not a romantic place to propose to somebody. I like that. That's
No.
a nice touch. And then you got the short fat businessman on bended
No
knee, admitting
status.
that he has no status, no
No
savings,
savings.
and
No
that
grand
he's
wedding.
uninterested, and he can't even give her the grand wedding reception she deserves. And then, even so, would you do me the honor of becoming my wife? And he hands her the flowers, and they begin floating. This is a dream sequence where they're imagining the proposal, how the proposal went down.
Yeah.
They're floating. She swoons and says yes. After no status, no savings, uninteresting businessman. Yes, I'll become your wife.
She loves
this guy
him.
Is, you know what I mean?
I mean,
and
you
so
know.
Then after she says yes, the background changes to pink clouds and a starry sky. And then cut back to Umino, and he's like, well, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal situation, but as long as they love each other, and Usagi has a cheap ice cream cone, and she shoves it up in the air like she's making a proclamation and a battle cry.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, give me the ideal or nothing at all. I believe in impossibly high standards. As long as they're handsome, go for it. Take a chance with them. I don't want plan to get married by the age of 25. So maybe, like you were saying, she definitely doesn't want to be an old maid. And then,
Usagi
and then like,
is questing for love, just like she is protecting love.
Exactly. But I love that as long as they're handsome, give it a try. You know,
I mean, so far she is held up to that exact ethos.
And then despite the misguided sentiment of her battle cry, the ice cream slides off the cone and hits her on the head.
You know, would we expect anything less from Usagi?
And then Umino, mute to himself, he's like, if he wants a handsome guy, I'm doomed. So, see, maybe he doesn't realize he's out of her league.
You know, here's a fun little spoiler. When I was trying to look up what's on Umino's notebook, which I could not find, and by I mean the intern.
Right.
On the Gurio Umino wiki page. It's noted here, it said, also, while the Sailor Senshi did imagine that Umino was handsome without his glasses on at one point, author Naoko Takeuchi did confirm that he is indeed handsome without them.
Okay.
So there you go. You take off his swirly glasses and he becomes a handsome man.
Okay. So yep. then we cut to, it's a shop. And it's a dressmaker, but it's spelled DRESSMAKAR instead of it should be MAKER.
Yep.
And it made me think of this really racially inappropriate website that's really funny. It's called English instead of English. And it's all these signs and stuff that are found in various in China and Korea and Japan. All these signs that are supposedly written in English, but they've got the spelling wrong or the wording wrong. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious,
you know,
when people get worried.
I will say, when I was in Japan, I have pictures of a couple of different things with just poor translations on them, and including the back of one guy's shirt, which was insane. And it just really reminded me about how people here in America, you know, like they'll wear the shirts with the Chinese characters and stuff on them and with no idea what they're saying. And I feel like it's gotta be either like a tongue-in-cheek sort of making fun, or it's just like the same exact vibe where they're like, I don't really know what this means, but it looks cool.
So the ex-girlfriend who showed me the English website also showed me this YouTube video of, it was like Philippines Top Idol. And
yeah.
They just put the American Top Idol. And she was saying the song was originally it's a Badfinger song. It's called Without You. It was made very popular by Mariah Carey. You probably know the Harry Nilsson version, too. But it's, I can't live if living is without you.
Yeah.
So this woman on Philippines Top Idol sings, Ken Lee, like a guy's name, like Kenard Lee. Ken Lee.
Yeah.
Ken Lee, to live with you without you. She just made up gibberish. To live with you without you. And then she kept going, so she was like singing it, like in pidgin English.
Yeah,
she was making up sounds. They weren't English words. And so then one of the judges is like, what language are you singing that in? And she said English. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, I can't, when I sing Fall Out Boy songs, that's kind of what I do, singing Fall Out Boy songs, because there are times where I'm like, I don't know what they're saying there, but what I'm saying sounds close enough. Yeah. Similar mouth noises.
I wouldn't go on a singing competition that's televised across the nation and not knowing the words. You know what I mean?
No. That's awesome.
Yeah, she became an internet sensation. And,
of course.
And I think Mariah Carey actually commented on it. She was very brave to get up there.
Yeah.
She said that she was singing a Mariah Carey song. She didn't even realize that Mariah Carey was covering someone else's song. Anyway, that's the second time I've digressed and taken it right off of the All right, so we're at the dressmaker.
Yes.
And Haruna calls out to Miss Akiyama. What's wrong? Calls out to Miss Akiyama. And then, what's wrong? You seem distracted. I bet you're thinking about your fiance. And then we realize that the person, it's Haruka. And Haruka's Haruna. Haruna. She's the English teacher, right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So her and they know each other from school. They're both educators.
Yes.
And she's like, "Is he gonna invite your fiance?" And she's like, "Oh, that's right. You're planning on making a dress on your own dress." And of course, they're at the dressmaker shop, so that makes sense. And she says, "Yes, but I can't seem to find any silk that I like. I've already picked the design I like, though." And she's like, "Well, make sure to finish that. I'm planning to find my future husband at your wedding reception. You know what I mean?"
Haruna is always looking for a man like that. Cracks me up every time. It's just Haruna. She leans into it too. She doesn't like, there are so many, she could like be, "No, I don't think I will." But she's like, "No, yeah, I'm that desperate. Please bring me someone, please."
Exactly. Then we cut to a Ferrari parked in front of a large mansion in the woods, which we know to be Nefert's hideaway.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just wanted to point out this point. This is the second episode in a row that didn't begin with Beryl. You know, in every episode, every episode that Jadeite was in, first time we saw the Dark Kingdom, it was Jadeite and Beryl talking. Twice, this is two episodes. So he failed to gather any energy on his opening mission.
Yeah.
He, there were no repercussions. We don't see him getting bitched, you know, getting taken to task for or anything. And now here he just hasn't reported back yet. he hasn't reported his failure. That could be.
He's just like, she doesn't need to know. She doesn't need to know. It's fine. It's fine.
What does he say to the stars? The stars are all knowing. The stars are all seeing. Something like that.
Something like that. The only note I have in my notes is Nephrite. That's what I've written in my notes. It's just Nephrite.
Nephrite?
Nephrite.
Okay. He said, "Vega, the Vega in the Lyra constellation. Its tears fill the heavens. It floats alone, unable to traverse the galaxy." And I needed to know what all that meant. So this is, bear with me. So this is what I found out. Okay, because I was like, Vega in the Lyra constellation, its tears fill the heavens. I was like, I'm not aware of any mythology that this is even referring to, because most of the constellations come from Greek and Roman mythology. They're just Greek mythology, I believe. And so Vega is the brightest star in the Lyra constellation, and it's a vulture or an eagle playing the lyre. And a lyre is like a harp, except it looks like a cartoon dog facing you with the strings where its eyes would be. That's what a lyre is. It's like a harp.
Yep.
And that's why the tears fill the heaven or are unable to traverse the galaxy. So this is the best guess for why the tears fill the heavens. The lyre is of Orpheus. And Orpheus could charm rocks, which is quell the voices of sirens who sang tempting songs to Jason and the Argonauts. Orpheus marries Eurydice, a nymph. And she dies from a snake bite. When Epsi dies, Orpheus enters the underworld, where he charms Hades with his lyre. Enough so that he agrees to let Eurydice be released from the on the condition that Orpheus not look back towards the underworld until he's back above ground. But Orpheus faltered, And your dark skin is in the underworld. So that's why the tear to be put in the heavens, I guess.
It's not Orpheus and Eurydice, but that is a really good story, and I like your connections there. What it actually is he targets Hygure under the star Vega. Vega is also known as the Weaving Girl, and the Weaving Girl is the subject of an annual Japanese festival called Tanabata, which is rooted in the story of a weaver who must stay separated from her love as she works. So the story, it celebrates the meeting of two deities, Orihime and Hikoboshi, represented by the stars Vega and Altar, respectively. And according to legend, the Milky Way separates these lovers, and they are allowed to meet only once a year on the seventh day of the seventh lunar month of the lunar solar calendar. The date of Tanabata varies by region, based on all of that stuff. But this year, it's going to be on the 10th of August. Your interpretation could also be valid, because Naoko did, when she was in school, she studied, hold on, I have it here. She joined the astronomy and the manga clubs. So she was very into astronomy as well. So that interpretation would be just as valid, in my opinion. Yeah, true. True.
The constellation itself is supposedly, it's a vulture or an eagle playing the lyre, which is really odd. I don't know the story of a vulture or an eagle playing any musical instrument. And if so, I think the eagle would play a piano. I don't know. Maybe the guitar, like the Eagles.
Yes.
Because of the Juban Community Center, where Usagi sees a couple getting married, which is, that's like getting married at the VFW, isn't it? Getting married at the community center? Kind of a sad place to get married. That's a different camp. What a beautiful...
My friends they didn't get married at the library, but their reception was at the library, and it was really good.
The library.
Yeah, it was really neat. A lot of fun.
Yeah. I think that's better than the community center just conjures up for me like bad like community dances. Like in a small town. A small town. They have a dance for the young people at the community center. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Usagi says, "What have you done, Brian? I'm so jealous. This really is the dream of every young girl in love." Now again, you just keep harping on this, and it's the dream of every girl, you know. But she's talking about herself, of course, and she says, "Yeah, I hope it's me someday." And that makes sense. I mean, that definitely makes sense with Usagi's character, and I buy that. And then all of a sudden we see workers who are dressed in navy blue tuxedos, carrying an 8x8 sign. Advertising for a handmade wedding dress contest. The grand prize is a lavish, all expense paid wedding reception. How convenient. Given that it turns out that Misaki Ama had just recently proposed to. Yeah.
It's true.
Misaki imagines herself in a pink wedding dress getting married to propose to. Go ahead.
I was about to say the same thing. Usagi is 1000% going to marry Tuxedo Kamen and Motokiyo Nisan, because apparently Usagi is okay with polyamory.
She certainly didn't think there was any problem with it.
No.
That was her imagining her wedding.
But only in that arrangement.
What her wedding was going to be like, and she was cool with it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she says to herself, "I'm hopeless when it comes to sewing. I'll never be able to make a dress." And then also it cuts to Rei. And the MC is addressing the contest. The MC is kind of a smarmy character. He's like, "Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. What if you didn't have anyone?" Rei says to the MC, "Hold on. What if you don't have anyone? You and your fiance haven't settled on a date." The MC says, "Please try to remain calm. The prize winner can choose to have the ceremony held anytime they want." So at that point,
heck yeah.
But after that, Rei says, time to make my move. And what does that mean? Time to make my move. But then right after she says that, she bumps into Usagi. They're like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And Rei suddenly realizes, "Your mom is a housewife."
Yeah, your mom is a housewife. No, can I
Rephrase has nothing. Denying that she's even there. Nothing. And then she's like, wait a minute, your mom's a housewife.
And then she decides she needs to hang out with Usagi.
They're exiting the community center together. And she's like, hey, your mom's a housewife. And she just follows her home, basically. And then we quickly cut to Mrs. Akiyama. She's the sign for the wedding dress contest. The narrative. It's just a quick thing to move the narrative along so we understand that Mrs. Akiyama is aware and decides to enter the wedding dress contest.
Yes.
And then it cut back to Usagi's living room where we see what's Usagi's mom's name?
Her name is Ikuko.
Okay, we'll just say mom. And she's offering a slice of cake to Ray, and Usagi's like, hey, that's my cake.
She's like, those are my snacks, mom.
And Ray's like, she's like Eddie Haskell. You know who Eddie Haskell was? The Leave It to Beaver. He was crude when he was hanging out with you. He was Wally's, the older brother's best friend. Well, it was the Beaver's older brother. And Eddie Haskell was Wally's best friend. And Eddie Haskell, you know, they'd be crude when they're talking to each other. And all of a sudden, the Beaver's mom, Mrs. Kleber, would enter the room. And all of a sudden, Eddie Haskell would just pour on the charm. And he'd be like, well, it's so good to see you, Mrs. Kleber. You know, and he was just so insincere. And that's how Ray is being with Usagi's mom. It was just
10,000%.
Like, even though we go to different schools, we're really good friends. Usagi's like, she just followed me home.
Usagi's like, wait a minute, you're always mean to me. What the hell?
Exactly. Then Luna's there, and Luna says to Usagi, what do you think her deal is? You know, what do you think Ray is up to? And Usagi's like, how should I know? And then Ray's like, wow, there's really nothing better than homemade cake. You really are quite the talented chef. This is, how do you say Usagi's last name?
Tsukino? Yeah, Tsukino.
Tsukino. Okay. Yeah. And then Usagi's like, baker. Everyone can tell the cake is from the shop across the station. And then mom whacks Usagi over the head with it's like a baking sheet. He whacked her over the head. And Ray's like, I'm so jealous of Usagi. A wonderful mother like you must be great at a great many things, like sewing, for instance.
And that's when Ikuko Mama and Usagi
so great. And Ray
laugh hysterically because turns out Ikuko is horrible at sewing.
And then we find out what Ray thinks of that. So Ray has gone through all the trouble of following Usagi home, buttering up the mom like Eddie Haskell, and only to find out that all of her time and effort was wasted because Usagi's mom can't sew.
Yep.
And she says, like, she even says, and Ray's not even pretending that she didn't use Usagi. Because you couldn't let me know that your mom was bad at sewing before I went through all this trouble, you know.
And Usagi's like, what? I didn't even know why you just followed me home. What are you?
Yeah. You just came over here so you could use my mom to help you win the wedding dress contest, didn't you? And Ray doesn't even deny it. She just sticks out her tongue at Usagi.
Yep.
And then Luna's like, unbelievable. You should be spending more time training to fight the next monster, not wasting your time on some silly contest. And then she's like, you too, Usagi. And by that point, the girls have left. Once again, Luna's addressing nobody. I love that. It happens to Luna a lot when she gets on her little rant about what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. She's like, excuse me, by the way.
This little rant's going all apart. Yeah. You should be training to fight the next monster. And nobody's listening. She's starting to open an empty room.
Poor Luna.
So what's next, Maddie? Where do we cut you next? Where do we go to from there?
My next line is just the words "you winch," which I'm pretty sure is what Usagi calls Rei in that argument, which is wonderful. And then I see the next thing in my notes is that it cuts to Usagi complaining to Ami-chan about Ray's behavior and is just like, man, this is ridiculous. She's trying to use my mom and this, that, and the other. Then she admits she really wants to be a part of this
Yeah, and she believes she's
contest.
gonna enter the contest.
Yeah. And she asks, she's like,
Yeah.
Amy, you're really good at sewing. You're good at home ec. Can you help me? I want to learn. Yeah. Which for Usagi is a big deal.
We cut to a storefront, and the name of the store is Cloth. It's a battery store named
Yes.
Cloth. I love that. It's a store named Cloth. I love that.
I mean, at least you never have to wonder what the store is when you're in the
Exactly.
Jubon district because you got dressmaker, you got
Yeah.
cloth, you've got
Yeah, dress
Crown video
make car.
games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Crown doesn't, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. Crown doesn't tell me it's a video
What?
game arcade.
I mean,
Oh, it says it's Crown Game Center, so
yeah,
I guess
it's
the
a Crown
Game
Game
Center does.
Center.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just think Cloth is much more succinct.
It's peak. Yeah.
What's going on inside a store named Cloth, Maddie?
What's going on is a crazy, crazy sale, very reminiscent to the first episode with the jewelry, but this time it's a bunch of young women buying cloth, and it's not even evil cloth as far as we know. But maybe it is.
Right, and we see Miss Akiyama is there in the clothing store when these women are going crazy, and through the melee she notices Haruna,
Yes.
and she's all Miss Sakurada, and then she picks up a piece of fabric that's been tossed in her direction. She admires it, and she's like, "Oh, this silk!" And then out of nowhere, just in the middle of a painting frenzy at the clothing store, the one man in the clothing store slides up right next to Miss Akiyama, and
Who
he
could
just
that
goes,
man
"You."
be?
It's Nephrite, of course. He slides right up next to her, and he's just like, "Beautiful." And then he drapes it over himself like a shawl, and he says, "Flawless. What wonderful fabric. Perfect material for a wedding dress."
Yeah,
And at that point,
it's a little weird. Never thought that
why
I
do
would miss
you?
the master of
Go ahead.
disguise. I never thought
Oh.
that I would miss the master of disguise, but Nephrite is giving serious creep vibes, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Right, Jada never did this kind of stuff.
No.
Beautiful, And then he tries to misdirect her by saying, "What a wonderful fabric for making a wedding dress." But then that's his moment to enchant the fabric with his crest.
Yeah, the evil
So
crest.
that's how he doesn't say anything. He just kind of zaps it and puts his crest on it. And but
Yeah.
we of course by now we know that means that there's a monster in the
Oh, yeah.
fabric.
Just a little sealing spell for a
All right,
monster.
then we cut to a walkie talk, is what we call it in the movie business. It's Usagi and Naru are walking and talking, and they're where are they walking to?
They're going to Miss Akiyama's house because Usagi is determined to enter this contest. I gotta say, it's really admirable the way she has so many resources where she could, cheap out on this, but she wants to learn how to do it. She wants to be able to do it. She wants to enter with something that she made herself, and she's trying to get Naru in on it too. But yeah.
Exactly. She's not trying to have someone else make her a dress that she can then enter and win the contest with. She is with her little heart of gold, she's determined to learn how to sew because she believes that she can make a winning dress at this point. She
Yes.
really believes that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're walking up, they don't even make it to her front door. As they're
No.
walking up, they see the same chubby, boring businessman is heading up the stairs. Mrs. Akiyama, Miss Akiyama lives on a second floor apartment. Looks like she's
Yes.
probably above a Chinese food restaurant or something.
It's like one of those apartments where it's not like enclosed in a building. It's like you have the
There's
stairs
stairs
with
there's
the
stairs at the back
concrete,
side of the building. Yeah.
the concrete balcony thing. Yeah.
Yeah. To the very believable old maid lives up there. That
Yes.
seems like where an old maid would be holed up,
Yeah.
probably converted space above a Chinese food restaurant, I think is what was in there.
I mean, yeah.
And he's so the dude's got he's carrying flowers,
Yeah.
and she opens the door, and she is looking fierce.
She
She's got
looks
an unbar. Go ahead.
different. She looks different. Before
Definitely
she was
did.
this mousy, like she's
Schoolgirl.
bespeckled. She's got the little bun in her hair, very,
She was a
very
marm.
cozy.
She was a marm. She was a school marm. I love that word. I use it whenever I can. She was really looking very marmy. Now she's looking fierce with
Yeah.
the unbuttoned Oxford over a sports bra. And she has purple booty shorts.
Yeah.
This is not the woman we saw Cici Homack.
And the hair is
So,
giving kind of Joan Jett, you know? Yeah.
And so he's just basically like, "Well, I haven't seen you. Are you okay?" And she yells at the Beyonce to not bother her until the Givenchy dress contest is over. And then
Yeah.
she shakes, clutching her hands, hunched over like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. "My dress,
Yeah.
my dress. I got to get
She,
back to making my wedding dress.
you
I
might say
need to
that
finish
she's possessed by the dress. Hoo-hoo.
it." And then Usagi realizes that she doesn't stand a chance because Akiyama is entering the dress contest.
Yeah, I
So
mean, you
when she
know.
realizes, she's like, "Oh wow, Miss Akiyama's entering, I'm out."
Oh, call it quits.
Yeah,
But
but she doesn't. And again,
Luna on the other hand is like, wait a minute. Something sus is going on here.
Right, she says that's your concern here
Yeah.
is that you're saying you're not going to win the wedding dress contest. How about the fact that she's actually super weird? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
Then it was like, once again,
we
priorities, Usagi, priorities.
so we then we cut to Luna venting to Ami as they're walking to the how do you say it, Hikawa? The
Hikawa.
Kawa Shrine?
Yeah.
Hikawa. Yeah. So Luna's talking to Ami about this, and they're walking to the Hikawa Shrine. Where what do we see? What's going on in the shrine?
Rei is running around with a ceremonial dress that she is trying to steal for the wedding dress contest, and Oji-san is chasing her around, just screaming, "Rei, you can't do this! This is our only dress! My God, you can't use something so sacred for a contest!" And she's like, "No, but I need it! But I really need it! Can I please have it, please?" And then she runs into Ami, literally.
Right, I got here that the sky turns yellow with red stars, and red stars explode when rain practices in Ahuja.
Yep.
That's their version of power, bat. Like,
Basically.
remember the original Batman with Adam West as Batman when they would have the fight
Yes.
sequences and it would say bat, pow. Yeah, that's kind of it's the red exploding stars is kind of like that.
10,000%.
And then Grandpa wastes no time. Grandpa Hino wastes no time flirting with Amichan by suggesting
Being
she
a
get married
total
at the
creep.
shrine. Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
"Hey, why don't you get married at my shrine?" And she says that she has nobody to marry. And Grandpa says, "I'm single too. Why don't you and I get married?" Such a creeper.
Ooh.
Is he like that in the manga too? There's
He,
things that didn't he?
there is a couple of moments where he's like flirting with like girls that come to the
Okay.
shrine, but he isn't as present in the manga as he is in the anime. And he looks
Okay.
entirely different in the manga too. Like in the manga, he's like the short guy who has got like a full head of hair and a mustache, and totally different from Oji-san in the anime.
This is terrible too. This is another usually like raises faux pas. But have you seen Breakfast at Tiffany's? Have you seen the movie
Oh,
Breakfast at Tiffany's?
not in a long time, but I have seen it.
Okay, you know who Mickey Rooney is, right? The actor Mickey Rooney, do you know
Yes.
that is? Mickey Rooney
Yes.
plays a Chinese American in Breakfast at Tiffany's. He
Yeah.
plays a Chinese American, and he says, "Mrs. Go Right Me, Mrs. Go Right Me." Her name is her
Yeah.
name is Breakfast at Tiffany's is Holly Golightly. Her last name is
Yeah.
Golightly. "Mrs. Go Right Me, Mrs. Go Right Me." So he speaks
Oh.
English. Oh, man,
Mickey Rooney
I
was
know for a
notorious
fact.
for doing a lot of those kind of roles. It was bad.
Los Angeles has one of the best Chinatowns in the country. There's definitely Chinese Americans that they could have used
Yeah.
just a few miles from the studio. They end up
Oh, yeah.
cast Mickey Rooney as a Chinese person. That was
terrible.
They
did not. Yeah.
But for sure. But the thing is that Grandpa reminds me of that. He looks kind of the same.
I can see that comparison, knowing the character, knowing what the character looks like. Yeah.
These are what forms my opinion of Asian people. Like, if you're really together, this is Gorightly.
Whole different world. Different world.
I need to go to Japan. I wish I had your kind of determination. I love to go to Japan, but I'd never save up enough. I could never save up that amount of money. The time I had that much money in my bank account was when I was getting ready to close on a house. I had to save money for the closing cost. Yeah. And I didn't have it. I was screwed. I was buying it with my girlfriend, and she put the down payment down. Like, agreement when she would pay the down payment, and I would pay the closing costs, and I didn't have it. We were supposed to close on December 26th. It was the beginning of December. And December is traditionally a slow time for making TV commercials. And generally, they don't shoot movies that they're going to, you have to take Christmas off in the middle of them. It's scheduled movies to begin after the holidays or to end before the holidays. So December is a terrible time to make money in the movie business. And I didn't know how you'd come up with clothing vouchers for like $10,000 or something, like maybe $8,000. And then my buddy Prince, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, saved the day. And I got a call on a Sunday night. Then they said, I'm coming in triple time. And they said, okay. Then I made so much money on this. It was for the cover talk. I bet you by golly, wow.
Yeah.
And we never went home. We took naps. But we stayed on the clock. So we went in.
Yeah.
I came in at triple time. And then I went into double time. And I stayed in double time. Because when you stay in double time on the clock for like 70 hours. But like, I was like, everything has to not Brazzer get paid here. And he didn't care what it is money. It was Warner Brothers money. You know what I mean? I loved when he did this kind of stuff. You had to spend their money. I'm good at that. That was a musical genius. And he was a genius at screwing Warner Brothers over, too. Well, if you know, realize that the reason he changed his name to a symbol was because that symbol didn't have a contract with Warner Brothers. He still owed this because what happened was when he made his deal out for Purple Rain, he had to deal with them. They included Bill Paisley Park. Paisley Park had a motion picture soundstage on it. That was one part. And then it had three state-of-the-art recording studios in it. So Prince basically had one that was his all the time. And they rented the other two out. I worked at Kate the Park where the Beastie Boys were recording and R.E.M. was recording, stuff like that. And So what happened was somewhere along the line, he had a 7-album deal with Warner Brothers. And after Around the World in a Day, which was the album that came out after Purple Rain, he stopped promoting his albums. You know what I mean? Because Around the World in a Day didn't do the kind of numbers as Purple Rain. Well, nothing was going to do the numbers like Purple Rain. That was a huge album.
Giant album.
Whatever followed it was never going to be as successful. I mean,
of course.
But Warner Brothers, of course, kind of cooled on him. But by the point that he got to where he was doing his fifth or sixth album with Warner Brothers and they weren't promoting it when he was releasing it, he got pissed off. But he signed a new two or three more albums to fulfill the contract. And if he didn't fulfill the contract, they were going to take away the studio. They were going to take away Paisley Park.
Yeah.
So the other thing he got, you know, Paisley Park for him and they gave him $10 million. That was the deal for 7 albums. And so here he was, he still owed him two or three albums worth of material. And he changes his name to Symbol. And the lawyers were like, he's got us. We don't have a contract with Symbol. So
damn it, Prince
Nelson, dumped like 3 albums worth of this garbage on him. Because he recorded a ton of stuff that was never released.
Yeah.
So he just gave him the bottom of the barrel stuff. Camelos and Rebellion, you know what I mean? There's like stuff that was absolutely worthless. And here's my new album. And while he's releasing new material as the Symbol, he's dumping the
That's
crap
beautiful.
That's great, yeah. So I don't know how we got there. How do we get to Prince and kind of remember?
Buying a house. Yes.
Buying a house.
Going to Japan.
That's right. Thank you. I would never save enough money to go to a foreign trip to Japan. I can't. Yeah. I don't know how to save money. As soon as I get paid, I'm spent it all. I mean, right now I'm broke. I just got paid on Friday, and I'm broke again today on Monday.
Whew, I feel that. But I'm slowly but surely building back up my savings and hope to
make
another
trip.
No, just once.
I thought you went twice. Okay.
Just the once.
Peter went twice, right?
Yes. No, he's actually altogether, including the exchange program that he did in high school, he's been three times.
But when you went with him, that was his second trip to Japan.
Yes, exactly.
He did that one in high school, and then he went with you.
Yeah. And then a couple years after that, he went back. And
what was your name? Tyler, right?
Yeah. And he also went back to Japan. And last time that Peter was in Japan, he saw a group of people dressed as characters from Mario riding go-karts around the street, a la Mario Kart. So,
of course he did.
You know, Japan.
That's what I imagine goes on in Japan every day.
It's I love Japan. It's so interesting.
All right. Madeline, where do we cut to after Grandpa creeps out on Amika?
We cut to Usagi trying to be stealthy.
Go ahead.
She is determined to enter this dress contest. She's determined to make a dress. She wants to win, damn it. And so she stealthily, the pretty thief of Love and Justice, stealthily creeps into Ikuko Mama's room to steal her favorite curtains.
Okay, so this is what I have. Usagi tiptoes around her house with a diaper on her head tied with a half under her nose. It's so weird. It looks like a diaper that's tied under her nose.
It's a handkerchief.
And she says, I am a freaking cat burglar who saw me the kid. So I just, here's a little, okay, a little, no, I did a little research on this. Because I was like, Usagi the kid wasn't a cat burglar. Or Billy the kid wasn't a cat burglar.
No.
Billy the kid was known to have committed robbery or theft, accidental and intentional murder, and also got an escape charge after being entrapped by a false offer of amnesty for shooting and killing other lawmen while serving as the deputy of a rival county. But he wasn't a cat burglar, so Usagi should pick someone else. But there really aren't any famous cat burglars.
And let's be honest, Usagi's not so good at history, so...
I know. Well, maybe I'm being a little hard on her. Usagi the Kid is a cute nickname.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give her that. Should have been Sundance.
That's true.
Sundance Kid, that'd be better. Usagi the Kid? Sundance Kid. He was a bank robber, though. Sundance Kid.
Yes. Yeah.
He was a cat burglar.
Yeah.
So she walks up to the window and embraces the drapery.
Yes. In a very, very creepy, this is perfect. This fabric is amazing. And it's not too shortly after she's like, yeah, it is great. Isn't it, Usagi?
You're not thinking of taking my curtains and making them into something entirely different, like a wedding dress.
And Usagi's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Of course not, Mom. Please, please.
I wanted to buy fabric, but my allowance wouldn't cover it. Curtains are the only choice, are my only other choice. Mom agrees, but it means that she will have no allowance for 3 months to cover the cost of the new curtains.
Gotta pay them back. You're going to use my drapes. You gotta pay the price. These are my good curtains.
And then their mom says, well, you've only got a couple of days to finish the dress. Can you finish it in that amount of time? And that's the end of that scene with her. Yeah. But I love that she's so desperate that she's going to use her mom's curtains to make a wedding dress.
Exactly. She tries so hard.
And then we cut to Hiragu laughing hysterically, holding the dress in the air and spinning around in circles until laughing hysterically, and then she just collapses.
Yep.
So, I mean, honestly, the maniacal dressmaking session has come to its conclusion. She's spinning her dress around in celebration of having created this beautiful handmade dress. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we go to the dress contest.
And Usagi is so sad. She tried so hard, but she didn't succeed. She holds up her hands. They're covered in band-aids.
And
She.
Ray says, "Well, you know that you're better than everyone else at one thing." And she's like poking herself.
Oh, mood though. Every time I sew. Ow.
And then Luna tells Usagi that she needs to go undercover as a contestant. And Usagi's like, "Don't be so mean. You know I don't have a dress." And so it's because it's true. Usagi's really, really sad that she didn't have a dress head during the
Yeah.
contest.
And then it is suggested that they use.
But you have your transformation pads, Luna says. I
And
forgot about
Usagi's like,
that.
oh my God, the one time I try to do it the honest way and not cut corners, now I get
All
to
right,
be
so
rewarded.
now we're going to talk about Moon Tierra prison power, because when that's her normal thing that she says when she
Yeah,
transforms. But
moon
and also
prism
she
power off.
transforms. You and I talked about this. When she transforms, she does Moon Prism Power. She transforms from the power of the brooch. In this case, she transforms with the pen, and she says
Yes.
something different. So when
She's a
you use the
moon
pen,
power.
apparently. Moon power, and then you call out what you want to be transformed into, because moon power transformed me into a super beautiful bride.
I mean, of
Have you
course.
ever
You
seen
can't
her
just be a
trans?
regular beautiful bride.
She transformed into a photographer, or is that coming up? I can't remember.
That
So that
is.
was the previous episode.
She transformed into a photographer on the boat, the episode with the boat, with the cruise, the love cruise.
This is the second time we've seen her use the pen to transform into something else.
No, I mean, she used the pin in the second episode when she breaks into the radio station. She uses it to during the jazz episode to get into the jazz club. So she uses it quite a
Well,
bit in this first season.
this was the first time that I noticed that what she calls out when she transforms into something other
Oh.
than Sailor Moon, she says something different.
Yes. Different
And she's
activation
using
phrase,
it.
you know.
Well, I mean, it's a pen versus a brooch. It's a
Oh, yeah.
different. Magic is coming from some other item. So
Yes.
obviously, the spell would be a little bit different.
Yeah, you can't use the
And
same spell for everything.
I just.
That's
Okay.
like using the
All
same
right.
password for everything.
I just want to make it clear that I'm hung up on transformation for one simple reason. And that's that
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with their transformation because I want to do it. I want to do it. Remember that little video clip you showed me of a model
Yeah.
walking down a runway and she just flips her street clothes and she like whips them around and turns into Sailor Moon with a single motion? Remember
Yes,
that?
and it's amazing, and I love it so much, and that's the life I want. I wished every morning I wake up and I'm like, I wish I could just shout out Maddie Prism Power makeup and then be ready for my day.
I do too. And not because I want to walk around dressed as Sailor Moon. It's the transformation that I want. I don't want the end result. I mean, it's fine. I'm sure I'll go to a convention dressed as Sailor Moon if that's what it takes. But it has to have a transformation beforehand.
Oh, of
You know what I
course.
mean? Otherwise,
Yeah.
it's just a 54-year-old man who's cross-dressing. And
Not
that's different.
it's not
And
as
that's.
unusual as you think at conventions.
I'm just saying, if for me, I have to try. I would have to spin around
For
several
sure.
times and
Oh,
have
yeah.
ribbons wrap me in the outfit. Otherwise, it's just me standing alone dressing like a woman, and that's not as great.
You know, I will tell
For
you,
anyone.
her transformations over the seasons just get more and more miraculous.
Oh, I'm excited then. That's
Yeah.
a beautiful.
There's some really, really good ones. There are a couple where I'm a little underwhelmed, but I
So, all right.
particularly
So
like
we.
hers in the third season.
So 2 episodes ago, I went into great detail about her
Yes.
transformations versus Sailor Mars and Sailor Mercury.
Yeah.
And then their transformations were shorter. And I talked about what happened in each transformation. So I might as well talk about this one too. So she flips the pen into the air. Stars shoot across the sky, creating a shaft of star trails. Cut to Sailor Moon in silhouette against the full moon. with a circle of stars spinning around the outer circumference of the moon, then flash and tilt up to Sailor Moon wearing a pink and white wedding dress. I did it. There's a thing in making movies or television that's called breaking the fourth wall. And what it is a typical sitcom or what have you is in somebody's living room, right? And they have built the set, and the set is usually the doors, like imagine the Married with Children, for instance. The door is on the right. That's one wall. Then you have the back wall where the stairs going up to the upper level is. That's the second wall. And then you have the area that goes into the entrance to the kitchen. That's the third wall. And then we, the audience, the television show has removed the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And that's where the audience then is let in. So the fourth wall is what the audience sees through. Okay.
Yes.
Now, when a character in a narrative is a sitcom or a drama or what have you, because it doesn't happen in dramas, because when you break the fourth wall, you're acknowledging that you're a show. You're acknowledging that the character realizes that they're performing for an audience. And that's what happens.
It happens more in dramatic plays, like stage plays.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's called breaking the fourth wall. And it happens here, because after she says, I did it, she turns to the camera and she says, don't you think I look pretty? I love that.
Of course we do, Usagi.
They don't break the fourth wall very often in this.
No.
I've seen. Yeah.
But so every time they do, it's just so lovely, because it's just like, it's like you're friends. You're friends with Usagi. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
so then we go inside of the dress contest.
Yeah, and it starts showing off all of the contestants and all of their dresses, and I'm gonna just throw this out there. All of the dresses are kind of ick.
Like, true.
And the most ick is, unfortunately for her, Miss Akiyama's, in my opinion, is
okay,
ugly.
Okay, so here's what I have. A curtain opens and a spotlight appears, illuminating Miss Akiyama, wearing a lavender and blue dress with a maroon Westby corset, feathered wings emerging from her neckline, and the crowning jewel of this outfit is quite literally a large red jewel, presumably a ruby, set in the center of a headpiece, fashioned in a sweepback white plumage. I said she looks like the Queen of Swans.
It's bad. It's like when the reveal, and I'm like, this is supposed to be the winning wedding dress. First of all, what? Second of all, what?
How about that I took the time to look up what that little corset thing was called? It's called a Westby. It's called a Westby.
I love it.
Yeah.
We learned so much about fashion.
Yeah.
Here.
I can watch. What's the one that Heidi Klum does?
Fuck.
Runway, Project Runway.
Project Runway. All I could think was Tim Gunn, and I was like, make it work.
I've been in the room while my mom or somebody's been watching it, and I know who Tim Gunn. I love Tim. Tim's fantastic.
He's great.
He never has a negative thing. He's never said one negative thing.
He hasn't said it verbally, but with his face.
Exactly.
The contestant
could be making the most idiot, foul thing possible, and Tim would say to me like, well, isn't that creative? Tim's great. That's why they gave
make
him his
work.
Own show.
Make it work.
They gave him his own show. I think that's wonderful. Far more interesting
beautiful.
In Tim Gunn than Heidi Klum is not interesting to me at all.
Sure. I get that.
And the MC says, you can't interrupt a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Akiyama, just shut up. And she zaps him with her flashing red pupils. Her pupils are flashing red.
And we learn the first power that she has, which is magic love eyes.
Right, when his eyes turn into throbbing pink hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he immediately is like, oh, I see. Would you? And then he proposes marriage to her.
Yes.
And she's like, do you really think someone as lowly as you is worthy of me? Men and women, and men and women as well. So I like that.
Yeah.
I included that. Men and women as well. Well, Neil, once word of my unsurpassed beauty has spread. So not only has the monster made her turn into the Queen of the Swans dress. I don't know how that was supposed to win the contest, by the way.
I don't know either.
So that's why the monster gave her this other power to enchant people. So,
yeah.
So, and also gives her the delusion that she is unsurpassed in her beauty. She's still Miss Akiyama with her hair done. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't become more beautiful. So then her flashing red pupils. She turns her flashing red pupils in the direction of the audience, mm-hmm. and the audience sighs and faints, and they sink to the floor.
Yes.
That's a little different than the throbbing pink hearts, right?
You were going to say that's power number two, absorb energy.
Okay.
Yes.
She takes the energy from the audience.
I believe so.
So that was just that's what you assumed the second this power was?
Yes.
Knowledge. Okay.
That's what I assume because, you know, she also, Usagi also notes that she doesn't have energy.
See, I just took it as it was similar to the single target, but it was an AOE. So the entire audience swooned and they sighed and they collapsed because of her unsurpassed beauty.
I mean, maybe it was the sapping of energy. It was just like, she's so beautiful. I'm just so much love energy going towards this beautiful lady.
But it's different. It sounds like maybe it's different energy than Jadeite was collecting.
Yeah, different vibe of energy. Yeah,
it zaps their vitality. It's kind of a vitality drain. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. We'll go with that. Then what happens?
I have her third power listed as summon a spider.
Okay. So what happens? what actually happens next is Luna pokes out from under Usagi's dress and says, "Don't look her in the eyes." And then Usagi is like, "Pervert." And Luna's like, "This is not the time for this."
Luna's like, "Please, people are dying."
Right. Nephrite actually summons the spider. Nephrite calls out, "Come forth, my monster widow."
Yes.
So that wasn't her third power. Nephrite summons.
I mean, it was kind of her third power. It was inside her fabric.
I don't know.
Without her beautiful energy empowered by the constellation Vega, where would we be?
Fair enough. She had three powers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great. I love that the animators drew it this way. A yellow ball of energy shoots out from Miss Akiyama's boobs. She shoots out a yellow ball of energy, and it turns into a black and orange spider lady with blue hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Akiyama collapses again. This is the second time now she's collapsed.
I mean, you know, sometimes we be collapsing up in this bitch.
And yeah, so Sailor Moon faces the spider lady and says, you revealed yourself, monster.
Indeed. As if she knew the whole time. And by the whole time, I mean ever since Luna told her to go in there and investigate.
She didn't know. Yeah, exactly. Usagi's barely been aware. And then she's like,
she's been focused on the dress.
Yeah.
Eyes on the prize, baby.
And then we cut to the voices of Rei and Ami-chan. Or at this point, Sailor, no, they haven't transformed yet. So
they have not,
That's Rei and Ami-chan are being lowered onto the stage in a wooden ship suspended with vines and the words happy couple painted on the hull.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's very dreamy. And so then Sailor Moon transforms.
Yes. And then we have a really cool sequence where it starts with her transformation sequence. And much like you mentioned earlier, that the others two are shorter. In the middle of her transformation sequence, all of a sudden we see Mercury and then we see Mars. But what we don't hear is their transformation phrases. And then it goes for a little bit longer during the transformation, and they're all kind of overlapping in a way, and it's cutting from one to the other. And then about like halfway through, that's when we get the Mars power and Mercury power. And it just kind of melds the three. And I thought that was done quite beautifully.
Yes. And then they say, in the name of the moon, we'll punish you. So previously Mars and Mercury had stolen her catchphrase.
Yes.
And when they were trying to one up her.
Yes.
When she had fought the monster, been fighting the monster on her own. In this case, that she joins with them, and all three of them says, "And we'll punish you." So
yes, but my notes say all three, all of them Tokyo'd, because that's what they say. Tokyo?
Does that mean I'll punish you? Does that mean I'll punish you? Okay.
Well, Tsuki ni koatte Tokyo, in the name of the moon, I will punish you.
I love how they always, the fight sequence takes place the same every time.
Yeah, pretty much.
It opens with the bard singing Bubble Spray.
Yeah. Gotta get defensive. You gotta get the defensive spells. You gotta get the debuffs. You gotta get those up.
I tell you, I mean, all I'm gonna say is Bubble Spray must be more impressive in person, because every monster is always like, "What's this?"
Well, I mean, if you think about it, in the first episode that she shows up, when she uses Bubble Spray, it obscures everything. And it's like such a thick fog that you can't see anything. And then it's also extremely cold as well.
Okay.
So it kind of obscures vision and it makes them chilly. And
how did you know Bubble Spray was cold? How do you know that? I never got that.
In the first episode that Ami-chan shows up with the cram school, she uses Bubble Spray in the first once she transforms, and Garobin specifically says, "It's so cold in here," and she's like shivering. So I have this fresh on my mind because I'm watching through Sailor Moon with Joe now too. So
yeah, well, we're real. Wow, you have a good memory, and you ruined it. But you're good.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, I do know a lot of stuff off the top of my dome, but this one is just fresh in my memory.
So anyway, Bubble Spray, and then the monster's like, "What is this?" Which gives Ray the opportunity to spin around, and she forms a gun with her two hands.
Yeah.
And points her into the triggers, acting as the barrel, and shoots out a fire soul.
But
the shot is directed at the web. Because Moon gets ensnared by webbing from the spider.
Well, you could expect from a spider.
Right. That would be the spider's attack. Correct. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then Fire Soul burns up the web. And then Sailor Moon does a little spaz dance. And Ray's like, "Get a hold of yourself."
I mean, if you've ever walked through a spider web, you do kind of do that dance.
A little bit. It was just a good spaz dance. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And I like, Ray, get a hold of yourself. I love when people tell people to get it together. And I guess it's just like, get your shit together, Team B. You like it too. I love when it's calling somebody out for being out of control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, get a hold of yourself. What does the MC say when Ray says, what if you haven't picked a date? The MC says, "Calm down," or something like that.
Please calm down.
Please calm down. Wait, hang on. Let me see. I'm consulting my notes real quick. Please try to remain calm. Please try to remain calm.
Please.
Yes.
Ma'am, you're hysterical.
And then now it's Ray's turn. Get a hold of yourself.
Yep.
All right. Something amazing happens in the MTA. So she calls out, "Moon, Tierra, action." But she doesn't spin around. You know how I was critical of the fact that she spun around like she was throwing the discus? And then she stopped dead and then throw it? Well, in this episode, she calls out, "Moon, Tierra, action." And then she just throws the tiara like a frisbee. And guess what? It doesn't wobble.
There you go. It's all about technique, Usagi. You should know this by now. Yeah.
What it does
16 episodes in, girl. Come on.
what it does do is the tiara cuts through the webbing, and the widow disintegrates in a purple cloud, purple and pink cloud. And then Miss Akihabara comes through with the standard thing that happens to the victims in Sailor Moon. Where am I? What happened?
What's going on?
Yeah.
I blacked out for the last several days.
I'll tell you what happened. You turned into a bitch.
I did note in this episode that the Yoma's name, aside from when Nephrite says it at the very beginning, that's the only time we ever hear the Yoma's name. And it's just like, "Go, my widow." And it's just like, is that the name? Or is that just referential because it's a spider? I don't know. Another thing that this episode doesn't have. So we had no barrel. We don't really have a Yoma name. and we don't have any Tuxedo Common.
No Tuxedo Mask.
No, yep. He's sadly absent from this video, and it hurts.
Or yeah, he wasn't video he was this episode. There, the girls handled it without him.
Oh
they,
yeah,
they worked. They worked as a team. You had the debuffs. You had the bubble spray debuffs. You had the crit attack with Fire Soul, and then you had the finishing blow. So I think it's the other moon is kind of a tank, honestly. Ray is clearly a black mage.
Oh yeah,
and
DPS all the way.
And Abby's a bard.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think Doggy is kind of like Sailor Moon is kind of like well balanced. She can kind of fit in everywhere, but she's very much like that OP character that you have that shows up in the cutscene and does a really massive amount of damage that only happens in the cutscene, and you never unlock that ability in the actual game. You just see it happen. And if you unlock that ability, it's extremely nerfed.
Right.
She's like that.
Okay, this is why I think she's a tank, and it's not a perfect description, but the monsters always attack her first.
It's true.
Ever notice that?
This is true.
So that's why I think she's a tank.
Fair.
Yeah. Yes, she I noticed. I definitely noticed there was no Tuxedo Mask, and my heart felt bad for you. I was like, oh. after Miss Akiyama comes to. From her fog, and I'm sure somebody mentions to her that she wasn't very pleasant.
Yeah,
we cut to church bells ringing, and Miss Akiyama and her groom walking out of the church, and they call up Miss Akiyama. You look so beautiful, and Ray says, "They say looks aren't everything, but," and then Usagi says, "Yeah, well, I still prefer handsome." The episode ends with Miss Akiyama throwing her bouquet of flowers.
Yes.
And Haruna, Moon, and Ray all fight for it. And in doing so, they knock it away, and it lands and flies into Ami-chan's hands.
Who, as we know from this episode at the beginning, when she was, well, not at the quite the beginning, but when she was talking to Usagi, and Usagi was complaining about Ray. She was like, "What about you, Ami? Don't you want to get married? Don't you want to have? Don't you want to do a wedding?" And Ami's like, "Eh, maybe, but not really. I'm not really interested in that." So there you go. So
not every young girl's dream. Exactly. Nope.
All right, proven wrong.
No barrel. I'm imagining in the next episode that Jada's gonna have to eat some crow, and there's gonna be a scene between him and Beryl. I can't imagine that he can just
Nephrite, because Jadad's sleeping currently.
I'm sorry, Nephrite.
Yeah.
Nephrite's going to have to eat some crow with Beryl. Yeah. He's not going to be able to get away with pulling all these missions that don't work.
Definitely not. Yeah, there's a reckoning coming, for sure.
He's going to have to be reporting in. And I also, I think that'll be a moment where Zoisite will show up, tee-heeing, floating in the air. To be there to gloat.
Because that's probably why Nephrite hasn't gone back, is because he knows Zoisite is there, and he's just not ready to deal with that. Like, Beryl he can handle. Zoisite, on the other hand, is just like, please, shut up.
So, that episode will be called Usagi Becomes a Model, The Flash of the Monster Camera. And we'll find out what happens between Nephrite and Beryl. What?
Oh, I was just saying The Flash of the Monster Camera with a flare.
I know. What's that going to be? I know. I circled Monster Camera. What's a Monster Camera?
It's a camera that's a monster. Who knows? I guess we'll find out.
Well, this is
next time.
This series of episodes I've been calling the Girly Girl episode, because you had going on a date.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to Usagi. Ray going on her first date.
Oh yeah.
And then you have becoming a bride, every girl's dream. And now we're gonna have Usagi becomes a model. Also a very girly girl kind of dream.
True. Very true. Very true.
All right, cool.
And
thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys. Heck yeah. So, as you know, you can find us on pretty much everything under MooneyCast. I am going to be setting up a couple more social medias for us soon. I'm going to be setting up Threads and a couple of other ones, because I want to get us out there. I know Twitter isn't as popular as before, so I'd like to get us on some other platforms. But you can always message us, use the hashtag MooneyCast if you're talking about the show. We really want to hear from you guys. I've been checking the socials just to see if anyone's saying anything. But yeah, we want to engage with you guys. If you have like weird questions about the show or like want to add something to what we talked about, like we'd love to hear from you guys. We want to have those discussions.
Anybody have any opinions on the carp dirigible? That's what I'd like to hear.
Yes, we need to know. We need to know more about the carp dirigible. So yeah, tell us your opinions. Also, you can always find the podcast anywhere that you can stream podcasts. And of course, at acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. And yeah, so exciting. And we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about episode 17.
Usagi becomes a model. Apply it to the monster camera. We will find out what a monster camera is. All right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night, everyone.